All right. Amen. Good morning, Faith Presbyterian Church. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice. First of all, I want to give honor to Pastor Rayborn and Faith Presbyterian Church and Dr. Gregory Christopher from Shiloh Baptist Church, which is my pastor in his absence. He sends his love and greetings and respect to Pastor Rayborn and allowed us to be able to come and miss Sunday school to be with your church today. So we just basically want to come and say thank you for all that you have done spiritually, emotionally, prayerfully. It's a very compassionate ministry, Hand Up Ministry and Magdalene Ministry. And, you know, we partner with a lot of people in the community, but your church has never said no to anything or anyone that needed help from either Hand Up Ministry or Magdalene Ministry. So we give honor today. We give honor to you so we can glorify God. And so that's basically, we just want to come and say thank you. We want to offer a presentation, which the ladies will give their personal testimonies. And I'll just give you a little bit of background and history of how Magdalene Ministry came about. So how the program started is I was walking on my normal walk that I do three times a week, and I got a phone call, and it was my pastor. And my pastor said, hi, sister, what you doing? I said, I'm doing good, pastor. He said, well, you know, I've been having this vision. And he said, and, you know, the Lord just said it was you. And I said, me? And he said, yes. So he said, the Lord put on his heart, and he had this vision to open up a women's transitional home. And I'm like, pastor. And he said, no, now the Lord, it just dropped in my spirit. It was just said Deacon Mitchell. It had nothing to do with your husband. It just Deacon Mitchell. So he asked me to pray about it, and I was overwhelmed, walked very, very fast, got home, talked to my husband about it. We prayed about it, and 2 days later, I went to Pastor Christopher's office, and I just said, pastor, I'm going to try to do the best I can do for God. And so that's the real story of how we started, you know, with the vision of Pastor Christopher. And then he said, well, sister, first of all, before you start, we got to find a name for it. So I said, a name? I said, well, pastor, you name me. He said, no, this is, don't, you do. Okay, so I go on my knees, and I was praying to God, and I was thinking a lot. I love women in the Bible. I was trying to not necessarily think of a woman in the Bible, but just a name, and just Mary Magdalene kept dropping in my spirit. And the reason that she dropped in my spirit is because when I came to Christ and he saved me, Magdalene Ministry was one of the first stories or woman that I read about. And, you know, I didn't know why, but she just was, you know, it was like once God delivered her, she was sold out for Jesus. And she never turned her back on him. And she was very instrumental in his ministry, and I didn't know all the things that she was a part of in Jesus' ministry until then when the name dropped in my spirit. I researched it, and then I presented it to Pastor Christopher. And so this is exactly what I had presented to him, and I told him the name, Magdalene Ministry. He asked me why. He said, why that name? And I said, well, pastor, you know, Mary saw the crucifixion, Matthew 27:56. Mark 15:40, John 19:25, and Luke 23:49 all account Mary witnessing the crucifixion. And then I told him, and then Mary heard Jesus' voice cry out that his father had forsaken him. And Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34 was the scriptures I shared with him. And then Mary stays at the tomb and she watches after the death of Jesus. Mark 15:47, Matthew 27:61, and Luke 23:55 are scriptures that I had presented. Then Mary comes to the tomb to anoint our Lord and see the tomb and remains at the empty tomb, the last place she saw Jesus and had an encounter with him. And I reference Mark 16:9, Matthew 28:1-8, John 20:11-17, and John 21. Mary was delivered from seven demons, Luke 8:2. Mary provided for Jesus as she followed him, Luke 8:1-3. Mary stood in the garden watching and weeping for Jesus and the first person to see the resurrected Christ. That sold me. John 21:11-17, and Mark 16:9-10. And Mary proclaims Jesus has risen to the disciples in Luke 23 and John 20. Mary remains near the cross in Matthew 27:56 and Mark and John. And Mary was given a message by Jesus in Luke 24:10, John 20:18. So for me, this is what I had presented, a little part of this, and he said, I love it. And that thus is how we begin or began. And, you know, for me, it was because Mary had a special relationship with Jesus after he had delivered her. And that's exactly how I felt after he had delivered me from, I would say, more than seven demons, you know, because unforgiveness and lying, cheating, and it doesn't always have to be drug or alcohol or, you know, fornicate. All those things out of the will of God is considered a demon for me. And so I think I had way more than that, and you know, God's still working with me on a lot of things, but it was just something that it just, I wanted the ladies in that ministry to have something to identify with. I could identify with Mary Magdalene, if not in one thing, two things, three things, but something I could identify with her. And I don't think there's probably too many women that can't identify with something. So at that, I'm going to just kind of go through a little bit of history and then turn it over to the ladies so they can do their presentations through their testimonies to pastor in the church. Mary Magdalene Ministries Scriptural Foundation is now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, Mark 16:9. Our mission statement, a house of refuge where adult women can come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ by the illumination of his word, an environment where every person is respected, encouraged, and most of all loved, according to 1 Corinthians 13, chapter of the Holy Bible. It is a home where everybody is somebody and Christ is all. The objective of the program is to provide spiritual training and relevant day-to-day skills that will enhance lives and networking skills with professional agencies that will make transitioning to a productive and independent life achievable. To develop and nurture the wholeness of a person through structured living, providing transitional housing and supported services to help this transition possible for the homeless, the disadvantaged, help those that, you know, have lost hope in all other areas and doors are shut for them. I operate the ministry implementing pretty much three phases, and my role as program director is to gather the data or information pertaining to the residents' eligibility for the program, which is a contractual agreement explaining accountability rules and mandatory meetings. And some of those rules, accountability rules, are, for instance, no weapons of any kind are permitted on the property, no profanity or abusive language will be tolerated. They have random drug tests. They have random locker inspections. Everyone is responsible for keeping the house clean. They have chores that they do. There's no overnight guests or male visitors on the property. There's no drinking or drugs permitted any time, and if found, those are grounds for immediately being dismissed. We have mandatory meetings, which they must attend, Bible study every Wednesdays, and Bible study is taught by Pastor Christopher in the sanctuary, and we have a women's group that is taught by Sister Harris for the Esther Circle. The residents must attend church services every Sunday and Sunday school. Must participate in house in group meetings, which is with me every Thursday, or if there's anything special or we have people special coming in, that we make that mandatory. Those are just some of the mandatory things. This is a contractual agreement that they actually sign. All these things are listed. So they initial it, and so it's nothing hidden. So they know all of this before, you know, before accepting, we accept them in the program. The second phase is kind of, my job is to make an assessment and determination of what the needs of that particular individual are. For example, any treatment plans that they may be involved in or have applied for or they feel they need, any professional counseling they're involved in or would like to obtain, any training programs, jobs, schools, health recommendations to get into clinics so they can get some, you know, help or, you know, so I can resource and find those things for them. And, you know, and also any medications that they absolutely have to have, we try to research and try to find agencies that would help us with that or, you know, or help them or send them to the right direction. And the last phase is structuring a plan for how our program can address those needs for that individual. And we do this by following up with the information that we have done at the actual intake process, which I primarily do, and give them like 30 days. And that's kind of saying, if we talk and we say we need, we see we need some counseling or drug, then we give them, they do it, we give them a resource book, and they kind of look through that, and I'll make a call once I see they're serious, and then kind of, you know, helps assist them, sort of like I work with Faith Presbyterian. The agencies we currently partnership, and we feel that our real stakeholders in this community is number one, Faith Presbyterian Church, hands down. It just is. Like I said before, there's no words that we can really say, but thank you, and God knows. So we just really appreciate everything without going too much in detail. We do partnership or get assistance with from Associated Ministries, and, you know, they have a lot of housing referral agencies that they help us with, and training programs, and Tacoma Detox, Access to Recovery Program, which is, you know, for chemical dependency, Intensive Program, which is inpatient, and then we have outpatient, and CMAR offers those. We work with Comprehensive Mental Health. We work with Greater Lakes Mental Health. St. Joseph Hospital in the drug and alcohol program placement, Tacoma Rescue Mission. We're involved, a lot of ladies are involved in Goodwill Training Program. St. Leo's Church, Department of Corrections in their early release program from correctional facilities that ladies can get up to a 90-day early release if they have a program, clean, sober, faith-based program that they enter in. They will actually at times pay up to 90 days of their program fee. Gives them a foot in the door, and, you know, they're monitored. The correction officers come in, and, you know, at any time they're allowed and really support us. And we've had several ladies, and, you know, it seemed to work well. You know, it's ultimately their choice to do the right thing, but we do partnership with them. And we work with the Department of Corrections Family Specialist Training Programs that actually come in and talk about families, what they can do to help families, mothers trying to get with their children and set up appointments and things like that, if they're requested. And Pierce County AIDS Foundation, the Project Transformation, providing former prisoners with reentry services, and they kind of give us some direction on how to send someone and what jobs will hire felons and those type of things. Also, House of Scott Legal Aid Services was assisting us a little bit with some legal information. I haven't talked to them lately, so I'm not sure if they're still doing that or not. We also have a Celebrate Recovery Program that is a new program offered at Shiloh Baptist Church. And this is a Christ-centered program that helps with hurts, hang-ups, addictions, and dependencies. It's just another outlet to help people vent and get the right help that they need. Current women's transitional homes, we have two, located at 1208 South I Street and 1210 South I. Tacoma, Washington, which houses a total of 13 women. This includes two live-in house managers. And the roles of the house managers are they help with the, such as Francis and Heather, they help with the chores, the daily routine, making sure that there's no disruptive behavior. You know, they kind of just, you know, they're doing their own thing too, so it's not supposed to be hard. It's like everybody, but every now and then you got to have, you know, that direction of chores are being done and this and that and the other, and mandatory meetings are being met, and when they don't show up. So, you know, they're just beautiful young ladies, and they have been with me for a very long time, and so they really are up to the place where they're ready to transition. So we make them leaders in the house, in the ministry, until they either get their housing or they get a full-time job where they can transition and move out. And the inception date of the first women's home named Mary Magdalene Ministry was actually January 1st, 2010. This was located at 1202 South I Street, and which had one live-in manager, and it housed seven women at the time. And the story behind that is we were there almost a year, and the furnace went out right before, was it right before Christmas? You guys right before Christmas? So Pastor Christopher, you know, we had got these heaters and put them in, and that just wasn't cutting it. And so the daycare, which was a door down, a couple doors down, anyway, they were closing that. And so that was 1208 and 1210. So finally we said, well, let us just go there temporarily to get the heat because the furnace was broke, and it was going to be a long time before it was going to get fixed. And so after about, we were there a little while, and then I was talking to Pastor. I said, Pastor, you know we're not going back to 1202. And he said, because it was more room, more space, and it was just carpeted. It was just really, really nice. So anyway, that's thus how we remained here at 1208 and 1210. So in 2010, Pastor Christopher and Deacon Charlene Mitchell started the Mary Magdalene Women's Transitional Home located at 1202 South I. Pastor Christopher had this vision and shared this with Deaconess Mitchell and said he would like her to be the program director. She accepted, and thus Mary Magdalene Ministry was established. And at the 1202, I feel so close to Faith Presbyterian Church because three young ladies came to visit us from Faith Presbyterian. I think we were about 2 months old, and it was Jennifer Sullivan, and it was, I know, Kathy. I think it was two Kathys. I just don't remember their last names. But those ladies came, and, I mean, we were stepping over lumber, and, I mean, this was 1202. It was a lot of, you know, a lot of remodeling was going on at that time. And they just were so excited. Oh, I couldn't believe it. And, I mean, we were all crying, and, you know, and they were giving me cookbooks and came back with towels and sheets and, I mean, just beautiful. I mean, we started out that way. So we've had a long history. So I just wanted to acknowledge them and just tell them especially thank you. And we have not forgotten you ever. Never could do that. And so we thank you for all the things you've done. And so actually so we're currently at 1208 and 1210. The demographics for our program is primarily in the Pierce County area. We have serviced approximately maybe 65% Afro-American, maybe 25% Caucasian, 4% Latino, Native American, and Asian, just to show you that it is a very diverse ministry. The female age average is 35 to 45 years old. Female age groups have started from 19 to 65 years old. In our program, or close around there. Mary Magdalene Ministry has housed or assisted in temporary housing since the inception of this program in 2010, over 100 women. Successes of the program are 50% of these women have been able to secure their Social Security benefits, SSI, return to school, acquire job training in schools, successfully complete drug and alcohol and mental health treatment plans, achieve independent housing, obtain employment, and reunite with children and family members, and even start their own little business. Women's Home 1208 has three double-bed rooms upstairs with a single room downstairs. The 1210 house has three double bed rooms upstairs and the ability to have one office room downstairs. How that's set up is there's a wall that is taken between 1208 and 1210. So the two houses just reunite. You come in one door, and then that's where our common area, our kitchen and living room and all those things, and the bedrooms upstairs. Well, you just walk where that wall is gone, and you're now 1210 side, and then that's where the other set of ladies live. And over on that side is the laundry room, the little office, and kind of our conference room and TV room, too, I guess we could say it like that. So that's how that works. Our resources for the residents of Mary Magdalene Ministry come from Shiloh Baptist Church, Faith Presbyterian Church, from the DSHS, unemployment, employment, financial aid when they're in job training, Social Security, ATR, access to recovery inpatient, and drug alcohol programs. These are how these ladies are able to pay their program fee. With that, without these, they could not do that, and we could not continue to operate because we are just a ministry that are funded through donations only. And the economy's so bad and hard right now for everybody, it's just really difficult to have that going on. And then they want to become productive citizens of their community and get their self-esteem. So they have to do the work. We're just here to assist and guide like you aid and I aid. And, you know, God does the increase. We plant water, God does the increase, and he will do it. So the summary of this whole ministry is it's a nonprofit, faith-based outreach program organized to address the needs of the homeless, disenfranchised, economically disadvantaged adult women by providing transitional housing and support services to help these individuals make a positive contribution to themselves and their communities. We assist the women residents to create sobriety plans, individual training plans, employment plans, and transitional housing plans, as well as establishing referral linkages and networking to our community. We support program residents to establish goals and objectives to obtain self-respect, self-sufficiency, self-esteem, and to implement referral systems for residents to obtain services, such as from public assistance, Social Security, SSI, employment, alcohol and drug services, and to assist them to become their own self-advocate. We have no paid staff. Everything we acquire is through donations. We all volunteer our time and talents. The live-in house managers do get a program fee reduction for their services in and toward the ministry. We currently have acquired a rental property where Pastor Christopher has opened a women and children's home in about March of 2013, where he is the program director and Deaconess Barbara Vann is a program manager. This Mary Magdalene 2 is located at 817 South Trafton, Tacoma, WA 98405, and is brand new, and so we're just assisting and trying to get everything and help Pastor and Barbara get that going. And all the transitional housing ministries are currently operating under the new name, New Life Transitional Housing and Support Services. For this reason, so we can start putting ourselves in a position to apply for some appropriate grants that we might be able to qualify for and to help all of our transitional homes be able to operate and to be successful. And currently, Hand Up Ministry has two men's homes. Mary Magdalene Ministry for Women, adult women, have two homes. Mary Magdalene Ministry 2, women and children have one home. So, in conclusion, I would just like to read from Matthew 25, 35, and 40. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick, or in prison, and we came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. And that's how I base and read this every day. So at that, my part is all done. So now, and I do have some flyers and cards of the transitional homes, and I will leave with one of the deacons. And now at this time, the Magdalene Ministry would like to do their presentation, and they're going to come up, and this is their story, just to let you see, and this is their love offering to Faith Presbyterian Church this morning. So I'm going to get out of the way. Okay. They look after me. See that? My daughters. And I call them all my daughters. That's also your first.
Hello, my name is Tanya. I'm one of the young ladies who reside at the Mary Magdalene House. I came here this morning to give a mini testimony of how a little bit of my life story and how I ended up there. I had many tests and trials in my life from as early as I can remember. Tests and trials in my life. Is that better? As early as I can remember, I was a follower, got into a lot of trouble, trying things in high school, just being an irregular high school kid. But still and all, my parents kept me in church. In fact, I was brought up in church, but as I grew older, I turned the other way. Kind of rebelled against church as I got older. Didn't want to go to church and just rebelled against it. My life turned around, trying things, got with the wrong crowd, and before I know it, 25 years have passed. 25 years have passed, these years on drugs and alcohol. After all those years, I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I knew I needed some help. So I checked myself into a drug treatment facility. After completion of the program, I was lucky to meet a woman named Deaconess Mitchell, who is the program director of the Mary Magdalene Housing Facility. This woman was heaven sent. I talked to her on the day before I was supposed to complete the program. After a brief conversation, we agreed for me to come to the house. I came over to the house, and just from the brief interview, she felt something in her spirit and told me to come over. Just from the interview over the phone, with no funding. She said, just come on anyway, there's room for you. There's a room for you. What a blessing. However, I did receive funding eventually. And when my six months funding was out, I talked to her and told her my situation, that my funding had ran out and that I was probably going to go to a shelter. She then referred me to Faith Presbyterian Church. I came and attended service, which I enjoyed. I talked to a couple of deacons at their church.
I've gotten out of a sexual assault situation, domestic violence, and it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but I was just so hurt. I just wanted to get away from anything I knew, which wasn't a very wise decision at that time, but I just made my decision real quick. Wasn't even thinking straight. Came out here by myself, very naive, didn't know anybody, didn't even know who this woman was. And I stayed with her in her house for about 2 months before she told me she was still addicted to crack. She was pregnant with her 7th child. She had not taken care of not one of us. And she left me homeless after I didn't have any more money. I didn't know anybody in Washington, didn't have anywhere to go. And when she left me homeless, I was just in a very, very, very shocked state. I didn't know what to do. I went to an overnight shelter, and I just prayed. It was nothing but God, because the way the overnight shelter works is that you go there and your name is put on a list. My name was 14 on that list, and it was the middle of the month. The lady told me it's very rare that I would get in because it was the middle of the month. I just serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. So I just went and resorted to what I knew, and I prayed. And surprisingly, 14 people did not show up, and there were 3 beds available, and I got in that night. So I'm just praying, and it was hard. It was not easy at all. I was carrying my bags in these hills in Washington. I'm from East Coast, okay? These hills in Washington were something else. I was getting a workout every morning at 7 o'clock, carrying my bags uphill. And I went to the Salvation Army. I have a disability. I was diagnosed when I was 13. It's neurological and chronic. So I take a lot of medication. I didn't have any medication when I went to the Salvation Army, and I was still trying to get DSHS. It wasn't coming through fast enough, and at the Salvation Army, it's only a 90-day program. Before I went to the Salvation Army, someone had told me about Mary Magdalene Ministries. He was from the Hand Up Ministry. The only reason why I didn't go was because I seen that there was a fee every month and I didn't have any income whatsoever. So I went to the Salvation Army, and after 2 months is when I got my medication. I'm finally, you know, getting, you know, out to look for jobs and trying to do something. After 30 days, your stuff is out on the streets. So I'm back to square one, nowhere to go. It was, I went to my biological mom again because I didn't have anywhere else to go, and she told me she was in treatment. Looks can fool. So she was doing good for about 3 days before, you know, the sheet was revealed, and I seen that she was still addicted. She kicked me out at 12 o'clock at night because she was so embarrassed about the fact that I seen her so high. I've never been exposed to drugs or anything like that, so it really scared me. I went to my auntie's house that night, and in the afternoon, I went to Mary Magdalene. I went to Shiloh. I did not know what was going to happen. I did not know. I was just stepping out in faith once again. And I prayed, and when I went in, Deaconess Mitchell wasn't there. A few women were there, and Renee, she called Deaconess Mitchell for me, and I just talked to her over the phone. She did not know me. You know, I've had this problem in Washington with trust. Not a lot of people trust you know, me, just because they don't know you. You know, a lot of people are really iffy about strangers. So it was just a miracle. She did not know me. She just heard my story over the phone, and she asked me, you know, you don't have anywhere to go? And I said, no. And she said, well, I'm going to have the ladies let you into the house and let you try the house for 2 weeks and see if you like it and see if it's a good program for you. And so I stayed there for 2 weeks, and it was perfect because I just started finding me. I started growing spiritually and not just, you know, going out to look for jobs. It was more of a soul search. I was like trying to find myself and trying to find where I belong within the body of Christ. And now I'm enrolled in Strayer University for business administration. And I did not have any income, did not have a job at all. I still don't. But God's been paying my rent every month, including when I came here. I thank God when I met the deacons. They were so down to earth, and they were so, you know, they love with the love of Christ. And it was just, I felt comfortable talking to them, and they helped me so much. It was just a blessing. And, you know, with programs like this, it really means a lot, because I've never seen myself in a position like this, never would imagine me. I'm spoiled. I never would imagine me in an overnight shelter walking up a hill every morning. You must be crazy. Okay, I just did not ever see myself in this type of predicament. But with programs like this, and for people like me, and for people like the other women that live in this house, it's a blessing, because it's not all about the money. It's about helping people and building up the body of Christ. And we need more programs like this, because it's a complete asset to the community. The number one cause of homelessness, I learned in the Salvation Army, is affordable housing. And you wouldn't believe how many people I've seen in those shelters who have steady income but just can't find an affordable place to live. And these transitional houses are a blessing for the community today. And I just would encourage Faith Presbyterian Church to continue doing what you're doing, because you blessed me, you touched me, and you can touch many more.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be here this morning. I'm going to tell you a story about my little testimony. At the age of 3, my father left because him, my mother, and my dad, they got into it. My father had put a gun to her head. My mama had called the police on him. I was raped by my own family member and molested. When I was growing up, it was hard for me. Me and my mother never saw eye to eye to one another. Me and my mother can't stand each other. My mother always told me, you look like your daddy, blah, 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 this and that. And then me and her, she used to whoop me with stitching cord, with pipe from a wash machine. My mama used to abuse me. My mama never liked me. My mama, me, sometimes I used to stay in my room. My mama being, you need to come out that room, blah, 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 like this. I never understand it. My mama would be like, sometimes I never had a mama sit down and talk to me, give me an understanding by life. Only thing my mama do is just be in the street. And as I was growing up, I came to Tacoma, Washington in 2009. My cousin had invited me out here. I was staying with my cousin for a little while. My cousin helped me to get back on my feet. My cousin helped me with an apartment. I was staying there for a little while. I was getting behind in my rent. I couldn't pay my rent. I had to buy food. It was a struggle for me. I didn't know what else to do. So I came to Agape, and I stayed there for a year. That's where I met Miss Frances. Me and Miss Frances, we go way back, and we became close friends. And I've been through a lot in my life. And then one of the young lady was there. She asked me to come to her church, to Shallow. So as they started to open up the doors of church, the pastor said if anybody would like to join. So I joined the same day. As I joined, that's where I met Deaconess Mitchell. We saw eye to eye the same day. And then, as I stayed at the Agape for a year, they had molded there. I had to find me somewhere else to go. So when Pastor was talking about he was finna open up a Mary Magdalene, I went straight to one Sunday. I saw Deaconess Mitchell. I went to her because Pastor said that she was going to be over it. I went to her. And I asked her that I would love to be interested to be a part of her ministry. And as I stay there at Mary Magdalene, I grow closer and I get a better understanding. Deaconess Mitchell, she's a great role model for me. And she gave me a better understanding about life. And as I grow and I grow, get a better understanding, I've been for Mary Magdalene almost like 2, going on 3 years. And I've been there, and right now, me and my mother, we restored our relationship. I could talk to her on the phone, and she telling me how much she missed me, and I tell her how much I miss her. By next year, I might be moving back home to be with my mother. Because, like Pastor always say, your mother is the greatest gift of all. And I thank God for that. And now I am a house manager at the Mary Magdalene number 2. God has been so good to me. He really opened up the doors for me. I'm going back to school to get my GED. My goal is to go to college. And wow, God is an awesome God. Also, I am a president of the Senior Gospel Choir. And also, I do Awanas on Friday. I teach the little cubbies. Also, I just got my certificate for Christian Education Award. It's a program that show you how to do slide with your Sunday school, and also if you have any input, you can write it down, like your what you get out of Sunday school, you can write it down. And God is really blessing my life, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for being here, and I thank God for being with Deaconess Mitchell. She's my mama, she's my sponsor. She been there. I could call on her. I could talk to her. I could do anything. And I just want to thank her. And thank y'all.
Well, I think we've always been, all have been approached from time to time by people who are asking for help that we feel like we don't know quite how we can be of assistance. Sometimes I've bought a tank of gas or bought a sandwich and a cup of coffee or given some cash, but I almost always hand them a business card from the office and say, call the deacons, and I always mention Shiloh Baptist Church. I met somebody on I-5, I think, halfway through Portland, and I said, do you ever get up to Tacoma? She said, sometimes. I said, there was a bum in the car, a guy taking a nap, and she was begging for gas at the rest stop. And I said, call Shiloh Baptist Church. You don't need this guy, and you can get some help there. There's ladies there that will help you out. Well, I don't know if she'll ever show up, but I think it's obvious why I would say that. And And we've assisted some of you, but I also say what I don't do often enough is pray for you guys on Wednesday night at our prayer meeting. So you are prayed for from time to time at Wednesday night, and I challenge the congregation that from these stories, I think it's obvious that this is a ministry that's valuable, and this is why the deacons years ago got to know the Mitchells and said, you know, keep sending your people here. We want to take part in this because the name really says it all. I think the sweetest stories in the Bible, some of them are Jesus meeting with individuals. And that's exactly what you folks are doing, and we want to help as we can. She's given me this plaque, and you want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay. The card as well, or the plaque?
Well, the card has Pastor Rayburn on it.
So. Okay, I'll give that to him.
Yeah,
for. I'm not going to save the wrapping paper.
No.
So thank you, Faith Presbyterian Church, those who serve. God has a special place for each of us to serve, and you have chosen to follow his path. You have been the hands, the feet, the voice, and the love of God expressed in many different ways. You have chosen to honor him as you have served in his name. Thank you for your willingness to give of yourself and be used where God has placed you. You have blessed many lives. And a quote, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you did it unto me. Matthew 25, verse 40. One of the most challenging verses, I think, in the Bible. Love, Magdalene Ministry, DDS, Charlene Mitchell. Thank you. Thank you very much, Charlene, for coming today and for bringing these ladies and all of you. If you have a chance, introduce yourselves and get to know them at coffee after the second service. You'll be here for the second service? You're going to have to get back. Okay. Well, you'll have to come again.
You will come again because we have to give you part two of the testimony.
We would like that.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you will have it, we will be.
We will arrange that. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right.